just want to help you this morning. And so that's what my heart is. That's what my focus is. In the book of Judges, chapter number 16, and we know this story. It's a very familiar story about Samson. And I want to bring a thought out to us this morning concerning Samson. Chapter number 16 and verse number 19. I'm just going to read three verses. Verse number 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Now, Samson is one of those characters that we've always been intrigued with from an early age because of his supernatural strength, if you will. He's kind of the Bible Superman. And he always intrigues us. And some things about Samson, he was very unpredictable. Alright, he was unpredictable and he was undependable. I mean, he was not somebody that you could just count on. Why? Because he was double-minded. He liked to follow the flesh. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Samson is a man that was bold on one side, yet very weak on the other side. He was very strong in the Lord, yet very weak in the flesh. He was called of God to protect against the Philistines, yet he often engaged and mingled among them. He fought the Lord's battles by day, and he broke the Lord's commandments by night. And so, his very name means sunny. Ironically, this bright future that he beheld ended in darkness as they plucked out his eyes. And so I got to thinking, you know, there's so many ways you could preach on Samson, but you know, as Christians, we're very unpredictable and sometimes we're very undependable and sometimes we're very strong, yet we're very weak. Sometimes we are called of God to protect against the enemy, but we often engage with the enemy. Sometimes we fight the Lord's battles by day and we break the Lord's commandments by night. And so this is everyday life. I mean, just go ahead and say it. People fail. Life is going to bring you some victories and it is going to bring you some failures. I don't care who you are. If it affected Samson, what makes you any different? What makes me any different? If it affected David, what makes us any different? And the problem is, if you're not careful, you'll allow these failures to end your life. But it doesn't have to end there. Now, when I look at this, I think a lot of times us Christians feel as if we can no longer be used of God. Preacher, I've done this and I've done that. Well, you've not done anything somebody else hadn't already done. And sometimes you feel like your past is something you just cannot get over. And you can't go forward for the glory of God. But I'm here to tell you, you can. I want to look at Samson today. And I want to notice this
thought, I guess, will be the title of the message, you can still serve God. You can still serve God. Now, when you think about the service of the Lord and the failures of people, there is obviously a position that we all might hold at one time. You have the position. Timothy chapter number 3 gives us the qualifications for preachers, pastors, and deacons. And not everybody's going to fit those criteria. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. Not everybody's going to be a deacon. Matter of fact, that's a very small percentage of what is going on in the world of religion in the house of God today. But it mostly is run by just simple, practical people that are simply serving God, and somewhere failure crept into their life, and they feel as if there's no sense in me trying to go forward. But I'm here to encourage you this morning that you can still serve God. Now, you've got people, and I think these people run into problems. They live defeated under the influence of discouragement. They feel as if they've let God down, and things have went too far. Listen, I felt like that. And sometimes I'll hang on to that feeling, even when I've already been forgiven of whatever it was, the failures in my life. See, I can't get past it myself. And I know I'm not the only one, but have you ever asked God to forgive you of whatever a certain thing more than once? Now, I'm not talking about you did it today and then you did it again next week. I'm talking about you did it yesterday and multiple times you asked God to forgive you about it. But see, God don't know what you're talking about after the first time, because He forgives it and forgets it. But see, we have a problem with it. We let it discourage us and defeat us to the point where we want to hang on to the failures in our lives, and you feel as almost as if you're worthless, you can't go forward, there's nothing you can do, but you can still serve God. These people live in a hopeless spirit that if they cannot do what they used to do, And let me go ahead and insert this. You might not ever go back to the level you once was. But you can go. Then they feel others must live under the shadows of your life's decisions. And they suffer so much when they're the only one who seems to care. It creates a wall between a person's past and how a person lives daily, but ultimately how that person can be used of God once again. So you've got positions and you've got people and you've got problems, but hallelujah, you've got pardon. I'm glad that no matter what I do, or how bad I or fall, or how wicked it might seem, I still serve a God that is faithful and just to forgive me of anything and everything. Hallelujah, right there. But then there comes the possibilities. And there's possibilities. You can still serve God. I'm going to be quick this morning and just get out of the way. Yesterday we heard hours and hours of preaching, and man, it was good, but I just want to get out of the way, leave this with you. I want to notice three things here about Samson's life, about you can still serve a God. I see Samson's likeness, and this, what I'm talking about, is the object of his life. Now, I want you to bear with me, because there's not a lot of good that seems to be in the life of Samson. And so when I'm saying this, I don't want you to take me in the wrong way. Samson is a type of Christ. You say, no way. Oh, yes. I'll show you. He is a type of Christ. You say, Christ never was a failure. No, he wasn't. Christ never did the thing. Sam, I understand that. But see, there was an object of Samson's life. Samson was to be a part of something special. I mean, God was a part of his life at one time. He was set apart to be a servant for the Lord. And you say, well, how's he a type of Christ? Look in Judges chapter number 16, verse number 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass that when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. You know what? He said, I love you. But she said, you don't really mean that. But he loved her enough to reveal to her the secret of his strength. And here's why he's a type of Christ. Because he fell in love with a Philistine bride. Hallelujah, right there. That is a picture of Christ coming down to where you and I are, having a virgin birth, hey, being born of a man that's going to be rejected of him. He fell in love with somebody that didn't care about him. He fell in love with somebody that was going to send him to the cross. He fell in love with somebody that was going to spit on him and smack him around and nail him to an old rugged cross. But he still fell in love with an old Philistine bride. Hallelujah! I'm glad God loves me in spite of me. I'm glad God loved me when I turned him down. I'm glad God loved me when it didn't matter about anything else in my life. Hey, he's a type of Christ because he fell in love with a Philistine bride. Number two. Let's see. Turn to Judges chapter 14, verse number 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, meaning a baby goat. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and his mother what he had done. I tell you, he's a type of Christ because he fell in love with a Philistine bride. But he's a type of Christ because he defeated a lion. Christ defeated a lion. A lot of times in scriptures, the lion is a type of the devil. And so we see a picture of his birth, but we see a picture of his death as well. Hey, down there, the vineyard is a type of sin, and he came down to sin, and he goes down into that vineyard. Hey, and he didn't really need to be going down there to begin with, but he went down into that vineyard, which is a type of sin, and he defeated a lion. God laid aside his glory, and he walked down here among the sinfulness of the world, yet he had no sin, and he took the devil and he defeated him at Calvary. Hallelujah. The devil wringing his hands on the outside of the cross. And he's outside the tomb. Man, he thinks he's got this thing over. He thinks he's won the battle. But on the third day, honey, the stone was rolled away. And the outcome, Jesus, he didn't have to have the stone out to get out. He just had to have it out of the way for us to look in. And he walked out of there victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And there's coming a day when he's going to boot the devil right off into the lake of fire. Hey, it's a picture of Christ. I'm talking about the object of his life. Let me show you another one. Look in chapter 14, verse number 8. And after a time he returned to take her. Well, let's get verse 7. And he went down and he talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion.
And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. And he gave them and they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Hallelujah. Now I understand. I know the Nazarite covenant. He was not supposed to touch that dead carcass. And he overstepped that covenant. I understand those things. But here's how he's a type of Christ. He reached into something dead and he pulled out something sweet. He reached down into Calvary and he pulled out something sweet. Listen, I'm here today by the good grace of God, because one day God fell in love with a Philistine bride. One day God, hey, he defeated the lion. One day he reached into death and he pulled out something sweet. He made the grave a fitting place. Hey, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hey, praise God, I'm glad I'm not, I don't have to fear death. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I can lay my head on my pillow. I know I'm going home, because there was a man one day that defeated the lion and he reached into something dead and pulled out something sweet. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you see the object of his life. Now I know his life was rather more on the negative side than the positive side. But I'm trying to prove a point here. Here's the point. There was a time in your life when God was the object of your life. You fell in love with him and he fell in love with you. He paid your sins at Calvary. He pulled something sweet out of the wages of sin is death. He was the object of your life. There was a time when the call of God was on your life and you couldn't wait to get back to church. You couldn't wait to stand up in the choir. You couldn't wait to participate in youth night. Hey, when there was a time when there was big dreams and desires for your life to go the direction that God had for you. There was a time in your life when you wanted to pray and you desired for Him to be the object of your life. Hey, there was a time when he exactly was that object. There was a time when your family was molded around the object of your life. There was a time in your life, buddy, when you were walking right and you were going right and everything was just fine. But then we come to the second thing, and I want to notice Samson's life. Not his likeness, but his life. And here we see the obstruction in his life. Look in chapter 13. Verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor drink strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Listen, this, we're talking about the obstruction of his life. He had a great start. Could you get a better start? I mean, from the beginning, he had a great start.
He was brought up with the right kind of parents, and he was safe. He was coddled at home, and he was taught the things of God at home, and everything was right. His mom and daddy had invested in him, and God had his hand on him, and everything was going just right for the life of Samson. He's safe at home, and he was separated unto God. He had that Nazarite vow. He was set apart, and he had the call of God and the hand of God and the purpose of God on his life. He was to be separated. That meant no drinking, no touching of the dead, and the hair would grow out only as a symbol, as the Spirit of God, is a covenant between the Lord and him. And then he had that power. Look in verse 24 of chapter 13. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And I'm here to say that he had a great start. He had the Spirit of power. Now, he didn't always use it right, but he did. We done read the text where he defeated a lion with nothing in his hands. I don't think nobody's capable of doing that. You read on down, he caught 300 foxes. Who can do that? It'd take you 6 years to try to find 300 foxes. He goes in one night and he catches 300 foxes. Did he set traps? No, I don't know. I guess he just run around the woods and grabbed them. 300 foxes! Think about the power upon this man's life. Tied their tails together. Now, he might have did it in the wrong spirit. But he had that power. This is a man that took the gates of Gaza. He took them all the way down. I don't know. I read somewhere how much those gates of Gaza probably weighed. I can't remember exactly what it was. I was brainstorming this morning trying to remember. But you know, you're talking about the gates as opening to the city. So you're not talking about a 30-inch door. You're talking about a massive structure. And he not only took the doors, but he took the locking system, and he took the post, and he took everything with that door, the casing and all, and he put it on his shoulders and walked 18 miles up to the hill of Hebron. Just as to say, ha! You just think you're going to get me. I'm talking about man of power. Great power. Took a jaw of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Now, most of us couldn't kill 1,000 Philistines with 2,000 rounds. We'd be tired. But here's a man that killed and just heaped them on top of one another. You see, he had a great start, is what I'm trying to say. But he had a grievous sin. Now, we're talking about the obstruction in his life. He had a grievous sin. Look in chapter 14, verse number 1. I like to stand with a book, don't you? And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath and the daughters of the Philistines. Look in chapter 16, verse number 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Chapter 16, verse 4. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Verse number 17. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, I want you to understand this. This wasn't just a one-time occurrence. This was a besetting sin. Right. This is something he just could not get past.
And the very thing that bothered him the most, his eyes, is the very thing they took away from him. And so this besetting sin just kept popping up in his life. Now, he had a great start, but he had a very grievous sin. Then he had a great stumble. In chapter 16, verse number 20, we just read these verses, and he said to the Philistines, "Be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. If it don't get any worse than that, in verse number 23 says, "Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for and offered a great sacrifice unto Dagon." You remember Dagon? Dagon's the god that had to be glued together a few times. You remember?
Yep.
What a god. That sounds like somebody I want to serve. Amen. Come in there and his head fell off and then his hand fell off. Amen. So here they are, they're making sport now at Samson. They bring in a false god, they set him up on a shelf, and they start making rejoicing to him, and they start giving that little object of Dagon praise for delivering Samson into their hands. Well, Dagon didn't have nothing to do with it, amen. Samson did. Verse 24, "When the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he might make us sport." That means make us entertained and laughed. So we can laugh at him, so we can mock at him. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Here we find that Samson's life couldn't get to no worse of an end. It seems as if this great stumble has took him to nothing. He's never going to be used of God again, and he's never going to be what he used to be. He's finished. He's done. Everything is over in his life. But there's one little word in this text that is special. And you need to circle it. Go up to verse number 22. Howbeit. Circle that word. Howbeit. "The hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." That word howbeit means however, nevertheless, or in spite of. So we see Samson's likeness. We see Samson's life. Now notice Samson's liberty. We see his object of his life. We see his obstruction in his life. But now notice the opportunity in his life. Notice the things he received back in his opportunity. Remember what the title is. You can still serve God. His opportunity began, number one, with separation. Howbeit, his hair began to grow again. Yes, you might have fallen. Yes, you might have had a great stumble. Might have had a grievous sin. Might have had a great start. But thank God, howbeit, in spite of, you can still begin to have the separations again in your life. His opportunity began again because he began to be separated once again. You're not going to live out there in the cesspools of sin and get an opportunity with God without separation. You're going to have to separate. That means sever friends. That means sever jobs. That might mean sever some websites. That might mean sever some TV channels. That might mean sever some books you might be reading. Sever some CDs you might be listening to. I'm here to say you don't have to end up getting made sport of all your life. You can still have an opportunity, but it's got to start with separation. And then number two, when his separation started to come about, his strength started to come back. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Your strength will begin with your separations. Now, if you think you can neglect some things about separation and go out there and be victorious and seize the opportunity with God, you got another thing coming. You'll find yourself flat on your face again. Flat on your face. You have no strength that within yourself. Oh, you got to stay in that book. You got to stay in that closet. You got to stay in the family devotion. You got to stay in the house of God. You got to stay under discipleship. That is where you're going to begin to draw your strength from. If you'll stay in all of those places, you might stay away from all the other places you shouldn't be. And then once you start doing, you start establishing strength once again. You're not going to be strong sitting on the bar stool. You're not going to be strong walking around the corner trying to find that next fix. You're not going to be strong in places you shouldn't be. You're not going to be strong when you're with people you shouldn't be with. You're going to be strong when you begin to separate and you begin to get yourself back where you need to be with God. And so we find he's separated. We find his strength. I like this one. Look in verse number 26, verse number 26. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand. We find his support. Amen. You know, I don't know who this little boy was. I don't have a clue who he was. He's not named. But I'm so glad for some people that have come along and grab you by the hand.
Yeah.
And lead you to where you need to go. You can't make it by yourself. That's why it's important to stay in the fellowship. That's important to strengthen with the right people. Amen. Don't go seeking advice from people outside the church. Go seeking advice from people within the church. Hey, you've got a good pastor and a good pastor's wife that love you dearly. If that's not evident to you, you're too crippled for crutches. Amen. I'm saying it's all right. Confide in them. Grab them by the hand. They'll help lead you to where you need to go. Thank God for some people that'll pick the telephone up and say, hey, just thinking about you today. Would you like to meet and have lunch? Have you been on my heart today? Thank God for those who send a text and just send a word of encouragement, maybe just a Bible verse or something along those lines. Praise God for the little lads that just come along and grab you by the hand and say, I'm right here. Talking about his opportunity now. How did he get his opportunity? Well, it come back in his separations. It come back in his strength. It come back in his support. It come back in his standing. Verse 26, let's read the rest of the verse. Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now, in times past, he stood always in trouble or as a way to get out of trouble. But now he's willing to stand for the service of the Lord. Now, it's amazing what you'll stand on and what you'll stand for. And you'll never have that opportunity if you don't learn to stand for the things of God. Amen. If you don't stand for the things that are right. Stand on the principles of that book. If you do not stand on those things, you'll never have that opportunity.
You'll waste your opportunity and you'll live your life in defeat and discouragement and you'll get down to the end and all you'll have is regret. You'll say, I wish I would have done it different. I wish I would have seized the opportunity. It's all right that you might have failed a little bit. Everybody in here's failed at some time or another, but it matters how you get back up. Hallelujah. You can have an opportunity to serve the Lord once again. Then I see another thing in verse 27 through verse number 30. We find his serving. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, I like this, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I might be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with the right hand and the other with the left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He might have had a terrible sin, a grievous sin. He might have had a great start. He might have had a great stumble. But I'm here to tell you, he finished well. You can still have the opportunity. He did more in the last few moments of his life than he did for the Lord in all the time prior. Now there's no telling what could have been. But once you've crossed that line, sometimes you feel like there's no use. Pick your head up. Because a little lad's going to come along your way and show you and take you to where you can serve God. And he'll say, put your right hand over here. And he'll say, put your left hand over here. And you can do something for God. Hallelujah. Listen, you see the opportunity in his life, what looks like a sad story, what looks like a terrible ending, finished well. You can look over in Hebrews chapter number 11, amen, that Hall of Fame faith chapter, right? I got news for you. You don't see Job in there. You don't see Isaiah in there. But you find Samson in there. And to be honest with you, it is full of people in Hebrews chapter number 11 that failed, but finished strong. Thank God that I can still serve God. Don't you let the devil and your friends and life around you just beat you and browbeat you down. Hey, you can still serve God. And that's exactly what Samson did.